Mike, I'm looking outside. The snow is beginning to melt. We're flirting with spring arriving, which means...
time to look at planning summer travel.
And if you visit national parks often or have never been to a national park before, then you know how time-consuming it is to research everything involved with planning a trip to a national park, from the hiking trails to permits to campsites to accommodations. There's so much involved.
Don't spend months endlessly searching, trying to build the perfect trip when you can do it all with the Moon Travel Guide.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical and sustainable travel. They are committed to the national parks and ensure that all of their guides are up to date with the most recent and most helpful info for travelers.
And we are so excited about the newest updated edition of the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, Hiking, Camping, and Wildlife. In this guide, outdoor expert Becky Lomax takes you through everything you need to see, know, and understand about these two neighboring national parks.
From the top experiences, driving directions, itineraries, accommodations, local businesses, restaurant recommendations, and without a doubt, the best trail info for hiking trails, this Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton has you covered.
For more information and to purchase the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, be sure to visit moon.com.
Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time. Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including history, interviews, science, and environmental justice.
That's right, and this Trail Mix serves as our contribution to the Protect Our Parks and Public Lands Nationwide Day of Action that happened over the weekend on Saturday, March the 1st, organized by the group Resistance Rangers in an effort to create 433 protests in the 433 national park units. This day of action was organized alongside many other protests, demonstrations, and boycotts in response to the current administration that half of America voted into office this past November. We recognize that hearing the voices or even saying the names of the 47th president and the appointed head of the Department of Government Efficiency can be triggering and traumatizing to many, so we will not ever be playing clips of them speaking, and we will henceforth only be referring to them as Toilet Number 2 and Toilet Number 1 in that order.
Let's take a moment of silence for those who did vote for them and now regret it. Just kidding, we're not holding space for any of you. So, a lot, and I repeat, a lot, has happened since Toilet Number 2's inauguration in January. Let's take a moment to look at some of the actions that have happened. To start, since inauguration, 30,000 federal civil service workers have been laid off.
In addition, around 75,000 federal employees accepted buyout offers, bringing the total to about 105,000 positions gone.
To look at the departments affected, about 7,000 employees were laid off from the Social Security Administration.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration had a reduction of around 1,000 employees.
The National Forest Service had 3,400 employees gutted.
And the National Park Service had about 1,000 employees cut.
In addition, the executive order focusing on ending DEI initiatives has led the National Park Service and the White House to remove the word transgender from its websites. We know that this is transphobia at its highest and rooted entirely in hatred, since history has always told us the Stonewall Uprising happened in large part due to our trans siblings. Their contributions are literally enshrined in history, so doing this is as logical as erasing the skeletal system from an anatomy textbook. Trans people have always been with us, will always be with us, and a world without trans people has never existed and never will exist. This has also led the Bureau of Land Management to remove the direction of, there's an indigenous word that I will not repeat here, that is part of the titles of a lot of different spaces that they have put an initiation forth to remove, but have removed that direction and action from their website as well. So how are we doing?
Speaking as someone who is a teacher, you know, thinking about the impending doom of the Department of Education and the onslaught of horrific, unprecedented news that seems to just be rolling over us, it's really hard to kind of get to a point where I find a steady baseline at the moment, truthfully. It's also hard to find like the shock of anything anymore. Everything is like, there's a dullness to a lot. which is unfortunate. Like, I feel like I'm being so inundated that it's hard for me to effectively grapple with the gravity of everything because there is so much. And I think that's part of the strategy, is to overwhelm and kind of neutralize through so much terror. I mean, it is a reign of terror. So yeah, that's where I'm at. How about you?
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling it. I mean, I'm definitely getting a lot of emails and text messages about, this is horrible. What can I do? Mm-hmm. What are some ways to respond? And we do talk about that later in this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, this has been a whiplash like no other.
Well, it's by design too.
By design, of course. It's certainly, you know, pulling us through the ringer here. But at this point, we can't let it get us down. We have to continue to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this really great quote I heard the other day about like a choir, and how like a choir, when it sings together, can sustain a note into infinity, because as people sing this note, you know, people drop out to breathe and then they come back in, and like it allows the note to continue on for as long as it could want to.
Sure.
And everybody is still contributing to that without
exhausting themselves.
Sure. And so right now their goal is for us to all be so tired that we all just stop and we have to breathe and we don't keep things moving.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thinking about that quote from the musical Suffs right now, which is, progress is possible, not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done a lot of work, and then, you know, we elected people who came in and undid so much of it. And it is something that is to be remembered, is that they have not done all of our work.
Right.
And so it's important that we have to hold on to what we have worked very hard for, and continue to fight harder for other things too. So protests organized by Resistance Rangers, which you can follow them on Instagram, took place over the weekend on March 1st in many of the big 63 national parks, as well as the smaller park units, from Yosemite to Grand Canyon to Acadia to Yellowstone to Gateway Arch to Joshua Tree to Effigy Mounds and beyond. And each demonstration did feature an upside-down American flag in the protests.
These protests were spurred by the Yosemite protest that occurred on February 22nd, 2025. This was in response to the mass layoffs that occurred on February 14th. So much for love, which could be a phrase for my life. Goodbye, love.
Hello Pop-Tarts. Yeah, we're quoting the First Wives Club, everyone. If you don't know that movie, go watch it after this. Historically, an upside-down flag is a symbol of duress. Displaying this on El Capitan sends a clear message. Our federal employees, our government, our people, our lands are not okay. The flag was strategically placed on El Capitan as it has become the natural feature that represents park spaces, land, and America at large. The other impetus was that it was during the firefall season. This is an annual phenomenon during which the rays of the sunset highlights the waterfall on El Capitan, making the water glow orange and look like fire. The phenomenon draws photographers the world over. This means that the upside-down flag would be in all of the photographs.
Honestly, well done, well timed. Great way to send a message, especially in the national park spaces. The two most bipartisan words one could say are national parks. These spaces have often been the thing that brings politics across the aisle, whatever that means anymore. But up to this point, it has been an anchor point and a place of agreements.
So let's talk about bipartisanship for a second, or, you know, the shelving of bipartisanship.
I think it's fantasy at this point. I think we can find it in the fantasy section.
I know, in the fantasy section, right? One group decided it was all or nothing, you know?
Yeah.
However, national parks have often been the center point here for the centrists, or like it finds itself in the middle of the aisle, if you will, for bipartisanship. So yeah, and we've seen this over and over again, right? So many times they slip in, like, into the COVID bill. That's why Gateway Arch became a national park, or that is why New River Gorge became a national park. You know what I mean?
Like, it's tacked into other legislation.
It is. And national parks are often an incentive or a way to like bring people over to vote for bills in ways that they may not have before.
Sure. It's the pork barrel that most people can agree on. in the bill. That is not 100% all of the time, because obviously there have been a lot of talking points and measures from toilet number two that reduced the size of national park spaces and monuments and looked to strip them of their statuses so that those landscapes could be exploited. So historically, yes, but not 1,000% of the time.
No.
No.
And there are plans now, as outlined in everything that they have put forth, that they want to drill on national lands and create commercial opportunities inside of national park spaces.
Because capitalism, baby.
Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you. This is, by and large, not the first time a protest has occurred in a national park. The opposite, in fact. The national parks have consistently been spaces for protest. We produced an entire trail mix that dives deep into the history of protest in the national parks, but here are some highlights.
Some national park sites have even been preserved because of the protests that occurred. One very significant being the Stonewall Inn, an uprising that occurred due in large part to the work of our trans siblings. Annual Reminders, also a protest of the queer resistance and the gay liberation movement, took place in Philadelphia at the Independence Mall on July 4th, another national park space.
In 1971, 40 activists from the American Indian Movement climbed the Six Grandfathers, also referred to by its settler name as Mount Rushmore, to demand treaty recognition.
In the 1960s, there were multiple protests on Alcatraz Island from indigenous groups who demanded the use of space and land returned, which spurred the national conversation and legislation of returning land to indigenous people.
And the National Mall has seen many protests for years. Serving as our national capital, a protest on the National Mall is significant. Some of these include
March 3rd, 1913, over 5,000 women, together with some men, marched down Pennsylvania Avenue to demand voting rights for American women.
October 6th, 1943, 400 rabbis marched to persuade the United States to rescue Jewish victims of Nazi genocide in Europe.
The 1957 prayer pilgrimage for freedom called on President Eisenhower's administration to force states to comply DEI with the 1954 Supreme Court decision in Brown versus the Board of Education desegregating public schools.
August 28, 1963, there was a march on Washington for jobs and freedom led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the historic I Have a Dream speech.
Okay, so none of this is new. Protests in the national parks are a thing that have been happening forever and
yep.
a day.
Yeah.
Because that is America, everybody. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah.
American history is created by protests and demonstrations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I love how our
the Tea Party girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It wasn't just hot goss that was being smelled.
I saw someone online, I guess it was some social media site, was saying that ICE, which is, let's talk about that being a problem right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, people being ripped out of their homes, communities, families being sent back to countries they haven't been to in years. Even while on their green card, even after having applied for their mm-hmm. green cards, this person was saying that ICE was going to Boston. And her point, which I agree with, was you know what happened in Boston, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go to Boston, mm-hmm. The start of the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good luck to mm-hmm. you. And I do feel like Boston would probably react the same way now.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many have reached out to us and asked us, what can I do right now? How can I do something? And we want to start by repeating this. A lot has happened in the last month and a half, and the first thing we want to say is that it is important to pay attention. Most of the audience of the show are folks who do pay attention, so we want to acknowledge that. But if you have found this episode as a way to find out what to do, we would like to say that paying attention is always number one. Everything that is happening right now with this administration is not a surprise. They outlined it in their Project 2025 playbook, and they're following it to a T. This was all public knowledge, but we are in a situation where the people who side with toilet number two and toilet number one like to own and control media, so this information was suppressed and required a little more digging to find.
But here we are. That was then. We had an opportunity, and we missed it. The decision was made, and now we have to problem solve. So what do we do now? I think we can look at history to tell us. We get involved. Join a protest. Participate in the boycotts. Organizing is happening. Pay attention and participate. That's the first step.
Call your representative incessantly. Put their phone numbers in your phone and save them. Go to town hall meetings. Speak up. This is a moment where you may be the lone voice in the room. Speak up anyway, especially those of us in privileged bodies. Take up the mantle for speaking up. Having the hard conversations, showing up, demonstrating, protesting, boycotting on behalf of those in less privileged bodies.
Of course, continue to think globally and act locally. Be resilient and steadfast in your values, and don't be afraid to articulate them. If this administration has done anything, it is give people permission to hate and speak hatred to others. Speak up anytime you hear this. Hate speech is not acceptable around you.
And what about visiting parks? What do we do in the park right now as visitors? Please note that this is likely only the beginning of demonstrations this year in national park spaces and across the remainder of this administration. If there is a protest, join in. But please note the following. When it comes to interacting with park staff, while they are in uniform, they can either agree or disagree with you in any conversations about opinions, about politics, or the federal government. That is under the Hatch Act, which is an act that limits the political activity from government employees.
Please remember, these are people doing their jobs, who want to keep their jobs, who all got an email from toilet number one asking them to justify their jobs. We need not involve them in anything else. And if you're visiting a national park space as a visitor, now is the time for hypervigilance when it comes to the leave no trace principles. Most parks have fewer staff members at this time. Let's not make their jobs any harder. Be responsible in your hiking, your camping, and with the goods and supplies you bring in with you, and also the garbage you accumulate. You are responsible for your own waste, including your natural waste. Absolutely use a wag bag for your poop.
And if you're sitting here thinking that you thought that America from the past was behind us because that's what the history books made it seem like because the photos were in black and white, then consider bubble burst. Protest and resistance is what defines America and moves us forward. We are never done. People are in harm's way. Trans people, indigenous people, black people, immigrant people, people of color, queer people, federal workers, and beyond.
Not everyone can protest. Not everyone can donate. But everyone can do something. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Scalios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.